You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Also, another birthday I forgot today, big holiday. It's Gary Gygax Day, the guy who co-created Dungeons & Dragons. It's his birthday. He passed away a few years ago, so geeks unite, as we like to say. So, Bruce, how much D&D did you play as a young man?
Zero.
Steve Farley, I know he played D&D as a young man.
I played a lot of D&D as a young man.
I played Monopoly, Risk, Battleship, Stratego, no D&D.
You didn't play Yahtzee, though, right?
Oh, can we agree on Diplomacy? The game Diplomacy?
I don't think I ever played.
Oh, it's amazing. There's absolutely chance whatsoever. It's actually Europe right before World War I, and you're one of the great powers. And you just, most of the turns are you trying to figure out how you can create an alliance with somebody and stab them in the back one move before they stab you in the back.
Nice.
It's a really good one. Well, it could last for days.
Sounds like being
politician's training.
Sounds like being in the legislation.
Yeah, no problem at all when I got up there.
Or down here.
It seemed tame.
Who said
that's
that?
Right.
Bad Chris. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. And actually, since your next question was what was your favorite character in D&D?
Yes.
I actually had a half-elf who was chaotic good.
Yes.
Named Wink, after Wink Martindale.
Oh, my Lord God. That's awesome. What was his class?
I think I got up to class nine.
Was he a fighter?
No. He was, what was he? I think he was a mage.
Mage, okay. Yeah. There you go. Look at Bruce. He's like, oh, God.
No effing idea what you guys are talking about.
You know, it's popular again. The kids are doing it, and they're not doing it online. They've rejected that. They're going back to the old board games with that screen you put in front of you and doing the old-fashioned way.
So the only reason I'm playing online right now on Discord, which is like Zoom for all you non-geeks out there, it's my old buddies from New York. So it's a cross-national game where I have two in New York, one in Virginia, one in Austin, Texas, one in Phoenix, two in Yuma.
That is awesome. That's a great way to keep in touch with people.
And then every 6 months we get together in person. So this last March they actually came out. We rented a big house in Oral Valley on an Airbnb, and it just turned into the weekend of nerddom.
Last hurrah before the shutdown.
We did it during the shutdown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, Christy, Simone, and shutdowns, they can go to hell. Now,
that's chaotic good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. The Humane Society, you guys, I missed your grand opening of your, I was up in Phoenix for some stuff, but your grand opening of your new thrift store. Is it, we call it the thrift store?
It's the thrift store, but that's just the beginning. We're finally opening the East Side branch. It's at 22nd and Wilmot, 1010 South Wilmot.
Right.
Eastsiders have gone without a decent shelter option for forever, and we're finally providing. We've listened.
Wow.
So we're starting as the thrift store because our thrift store is currently giving us enough revenue to be able to pay for buying the building, and now we're raising money to be able to put in full adoptions, full admissions, a full clinic, and 24/7 low-cost pet emergency, so you don't have to drop $2,000 every time your dog has a problem in the middle of the night. We're working with the U of A College of Veterinary Medicine so that we can get...
Which is such an awesome thing.
Oh, it's amazing. What they're doing is incredible. We're collaborating with them nonstop. There's a huge shortage of vets right now.
Right.
And they're graduating them 118 every year.
That is fabulous.
They just finished their first year. That cohort needs another 2 years before they're ready to go out and work. But we're going to have them in their third year in their postdocs, and we'll have them living in that building on the second floor above the clinic, so when somebody comes in and needs help, they can slide down the fire pole and go help out. So it's a lot of great stuff, but right now, the thrift store is amazing. We had the line, people started lining up an hour before we cut the ribbon last Saturday, and it was around the block and into the neighborhoods. It was all day long. We had thousands of people literally that day.
Why is this thrift store so hot?
It's a combination of everything Tucsonans love. It's summertime, so you want a large air-conditioned space. It's post-pandemic, so people really want to get together again in person.
Some of them do.
Well, they did that. They certainly did at our thrift store. And you put together pets with ganga deals, and that's Tucson. That's what we want. So folks were really excited, and to be able to save homeless pets while getting incredible deals was really a great draw. And it's, and go there 7 days a week now. It's amazing. We're going to have food truck Fridays. We're going to have adoption events. You're going to be able to shop with a dog. We'll have adoptable dogs there that you can take on a little spin around the store when you want to go there and try it out. We're going to have vaccination clinics starting in August.
Are you still have your Levitt's connection?
Oh yeah. Sam Levitt's is our biggest supplier. They've been so generous. All their floor models and things in warehouse and returns that they give them to us for free, and then we sell them to you at an 80 to 90% discount, and they're fantastic pieces of furniture. My whole house is full of them because they're incredible deals.
It's so. Sammy Jr., right?
Yeah, we're actually working with the daughters, with Lindsay.
Oh.
And they're doing a great job.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. What a connection that is. That's a great community resource.
We are so, so happy to have them stepping up and helping us out that way. So it's made a huge difference for us.
All right, let's go to break. I want to talk about the kind of the state of dogs, cats, and what's going on in this town overall, right? And we've heard all these stories of now that people are going back to work, they're kicking their dogs and cats out of the house or whatever's going on here. So I want to get the reality of that with Steve Farley and Bruce Ash. Bottom of the hour, right now we have Jesse Lugo and David from the Changuitos Feos. There's a documentary.
In the green room.
In the green room, nice. Right now, and they're going to be talking about this documentary that's debuting on Thursday night. So we're doing that. So there's a little Patty page for Bruce. Couldn't find the mini pearl, so we'll figure it out. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Our 23rd anniversary party is this Saturday night, and you have 3 hours and 43 minutes to make the RSVP deadline. We're at the Marriott University Park Hotel Ballroom. Music by a five-piece band that played Ed's retirement party called Element 119. The guys are amazing. Tight band. They do songs from the 60s through the 80s, rock stuff. They did Ramones, ELP. They did a whole bunch of stuff. It was really fun the last time they were here. So you got to go to wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. The Marriott University Park is brand new. They renovated everything. All the rooms, all the common areas, all the ballrooms, restaurant. Place looks amazing. So please join us. $95 room rate if you want to stay overnight. Stephen Farley, Bruce Ash, we're back. We're talking about the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. What's the world of dogs and cats? Because we knew we had a huge amount of people that were kind of trapped at home. They started adopting cats. Then we saw some stories, some possibly unsubstantiated out there, where people said, oh, now that things are opening up, they're like, oh, what do I do with this cat that now I'm going to go back to work? And there was this big influx of cats going back. Steve, I rely on you in reality for this. This part of the world, what's the reality out there?
Well, we at the Humane Society like to be honest with our customers, our clients, our adopters about what's going on. You know, April, May, June, they're always really peak pet seasons for us because it's kitten season, it's puppy season, it's getting hot. The school is over. Sometimes students who have dogs or cats may give them up. But that's not anything new. There's nothing particularly post-pandemic about how much we've seen this year. In fact, when you see the data of how many surrenders we've had, and a lot of people talked about people surrendering now they've had their year in pandemic with their puppy, surrendering them when they're done with them, that really hasn't been the case as much. We haven't seen that happen at all where we're at. And I have seen a lot of shelters around the country and a couple of them locally talk a lot about how they're overwhelmed with record numbers coming in and surrendering. And when you actually see the data, it's not true. That's part of the problem. I think we have a lot of media who don't actually look at the numbers and follow up and call people. They just run press releases.
Oh, there's a lot of that. Trust me.
I think ethically you want to be able to tell the truth. Yeah, we've got a lot of adoptable animals and a lot of adoptable kittens right now in particular. And this is part of why we have a program we've really leaned into called Trap, Neuter, Release. Where we trap feral cats and we neuter them and spay them and then send them back out where they were in the colonies. And then over time, you reduce the overall population entirely. And there are places in the country where they've done that and they've successfully got to the point where they can no longer get kittens into a shelter anymore because there aren't any. So that's the really effective way at being able to...
Hold on, I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, it's an amazing thing.
All right, so you have employees that are...
Well, we have a lot, mostly volunteers.
Oh, even better.
And we train them. And they go out there and they set traps for cats. And then we bring in the cats, we spay them and neuter them, and we bring them out and back to
where they were. What's a cat trap look like? I'm fascinated by this.
They're not that different from what you've seen in some sort of a raccoon trap or something like that.
Gotcha, okay.
They're big wire cages, and they go in looking for food, and then it comes down on them, and then we bring them in.
Wow.
And we give them vaccinations so they're healthier. We make sure they're spayed and neutered so they're not going around breeding. And they go out there. We clip their ears so you know that they've been spayed and neutered. So if you see a cat colony out there, you can see that they've been spayed and neutered. And if you want to get involved, call us up because we're looking for different trappers all the time. We have veterinarians we've hired, and there are other veterinarian offices who are doing this voluntarily because it's a proven way that you can actually reduce the feral cat population over time and save their lives in the summer. Because there's a heck of a lot of kittens born in May that end up not making it through the summer because of how brutal it is around here.
So as people know, through 12 years of the show, not a big fan of cats. So yeah. I am fascinated that you love cats so much, right? That you're out there on 105-degree day in Tucson doing cat traps.
Absolutely.
God bless them.
That's what we got to do.
Takes all types.
You know, cats are not good for wildlife. They're not good for a lot of different things when they're out in the wild.
They eat vermin, though.
Yeah, you know, well, they do eat vermin, so that's part of it. When we find cats that can be trained to become working cats, barn cats, we adopt them out for that purpose as well.
They need to be trained to go after rats.
Well,
and
no,
they
need to be treated so they're healthy, and then they're spayed and neutered, and then if they're not going to be adoptable, and some of these we turn them around and turn them into house cats and make them adoptable. And we have the kittens. Certainly, we adopt right out. We have kitten kindergarten to get them up to the age where they're getting ready to be adopted out. But there's some cats that are really good at being able to find the vermin and make that happen. So if you want barn cats, we can hook you up with that too. And a lot of them are the ferals or make that happen.
So I could talk cat trapping all hour, but I'm not. One thing I wanted to say was... we know in the, you know, tax-exempt nonprofit world, fundraising this last 14 months has been a challenge, to say the least.
Yep.
So as you guys look at what you're doing, because fundraising is so important to operations other than your thrift store stuff, which, of course, I'm sure gives you a better consistent level of revenue, what does the future of fundraising look like, not just for the Humane Society, but as you look, what's the future look like as we come out of this?
Well, we depend on a lot of people being very generous to us, but I'm not going to just depend on that. Part of what I'm doing as CEO is taking a more entrepreneurial aspect of it and figuring out ways that we can provide services that people need, making a little bit of extra money so we can pay for the things that don't generate revenues. We've just started a low-cost dental service. And if you've ever had to take your dog to get a dental cleaning at the vet, You can easily pay $1,400, $2,000, $3,000, depending on how many extractions you've got, because they've got to go full anesthesia. It's a very expensive and long-term process. We're now doing those same sort of services for $400, $450 to everyone. You don't have to be income limited. But if you just want to be able to actually help get your dog out of pain or your cat out of pain, you can come to us, and we're now booked out till September. So we've been hiring new veterinarians to be able to do those services, and that's been able to generate enough revenues, and you see the numbers going up, that we can then support the other things, like doing our Second Chance Medical Fund when we have dogs and cats come in very severe illnesses and injuries, and we're able to take them in and then fix them up and adopt them out. So that's the way. I want us to be able to be self-sufficient that way, and all the donations that come in are not what we depend on all the time for everything, but what we're able to use to be able to extend our services even further. That's why we're now, we're actually working in Cochise County in Douglas, in the Douglas shelter. They euthanize 30% of all dogs and 70% of all cats every year. We knew we needed to do something, so we're now working with Cochise County and Peggy Judd down there in government. And we're able to intake, we're through volunteers, we're transporting from the Douglas shelter approximately 10 animals a week all year long to save about another 530 lives that otherwise would have been lost coming to our shelter, intaking them, and adopting them out. So those sorts of things, I think we can expand. You know, we changed our name from Humane Society of Tucson to Humane Society of Southern Arizona in 1998, but we hadn't really expanded in that kind of aggressive way until then. And now we're looking to actually build a Humane Society shelter in Bisbee so that we can cover that directly and help folks down there in Cochise County.
Talk about a place with lots of feral cats.
Absolutely.
That must be loaded with
absolutely.
Them.
So it's key that sort of partnerships we're forming down there to make that happen. And a lot of good partnerships with the business owners in Cochise County to make that work, too.
I got a joke I'll tell you guys off air. I can't say it. tell me about your partnership with the town of Marana, because this is also something that I thought was such a good move for them, which was breaking away from the county and working with you guys. Tell us, talk about what that now that we've been into this a few years, how's that look?
It's not just Marana, it's also Sahuarita.
Oh, that's true.
Both towns, they were given a renewal offer by PAC and the county to be able to do their animal sheltering services for them. And it was way above what they wanted to be able to pay or should have to pay. So they came to us and we looked at what we could do to be able to provide sheltering services. They still do animal control, but then their animal control officers bring them to us and we do all the rest of the sheltering stuff, the 72-hour hold, the intake, and bringing ready for adoption. And we were able to do it for approximately 20% to 30% of the cost that they were paying to Pima County.
Not 20 to 30% lower.
No.
20, 30, we're talking 70 to 80%
lower than what they were paying to the county. So we're doing the same sort of thing we're talking about with Cochise County ongoing, and we're going to be growing that partnership to make that happen. Because our job isn't to rip off taxpayers, and we don't get taxpayer funding. We're our job is to provide the good services and serve the pets and the people who love them. And that and as a nonprofit, we're not doing it to make a profit. We're doing it to be able to extend our services and make that happen.
And every time I talk to someone in Marana, you know, in Marana government, they seem pretty happy.
Oh, they've been very pleased with what we're doing. It's been going great. We even have a couple kennels where when we're not there overnight, their officers can come in through our gates and then leave the animals and their paperwork with us in their kennels. So we come in the morning and then we fix them up and make that happen.
Look at that. How can the Wakeys help you guys out right now?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. We're always looking for volunteers to walk dogs, to socialize cats, to help with the thrift store.
Trap cats.
Trap cats. We can do that, too. Go to hssaz.org. You can get a wide variety of things happening. I want to push the next this Wednesday, that's tomorrow, is Wolf Down Wednesday, in which you can eat at 21 different local independent restaurants, and they will give back somewhere between 15 and 20% of that cost to the Humane Society. So if you can help your local restaurants, eat out breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you can find that particularly the list of restaurants at hssaz.org/wolfdownwednesday, or just Wolf Down, and then you'll see them all there, and you can go check out a bunch of them and see. I know Dominic's Real Italian is on the list, Cafe 54 downtown, Chef Chic, all sorts of people all over who are generously donating to us. Restaurants have had a real hard time, as you've been telling your listeners for a long time during this.
All right, I'm gonna do the list of restaurants. Ray, what's my real clock look like, real quick? Oh, it looks like that. All right, I'm gonna go quick. All right, hssaz.org. But here we go: 912 Brewing, Beyond Bread, Cafe 54, Chef Chic, Culver's Dog and Donuts. Okay, Dominic's Real Italian, Finney's Landing, Fired Pie, Gallery of Food, Gourmet Girls, Greek House, Gusto, Le Buzz, Nectar Juice, Noble Hops, Pure Love Juice, Screamery, Safe Kitchen, All Four Tridents, Trident Pizza Pub, Urban Pita, Vera More, almost there, Village Bakehouse, Willie's Phillies. I don't know what the hell that is. But
it's
anyway.
A food truck. It'll be at our thrift store.
There we go.
22nd and Wilmot.
All right. Good seeing you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you much.
Changuitos Feos coming up next. All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher D. Simone, Bruce Ash is here, Inside Track on Saturdays here at KVOI. And we have one of our Wakey superstars, Jesse Lugo's here. Jesse, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you doing?
Well, it's good to be vertical one more day.
Get on that mic a little bit more. There you go. I want to hear those dulcet tones.
Well, again, I want to repeat myself. Good to be vertical one more day.
Absolutely. And of course, if you don't know Jesse, you're not paying attention on this show. He's our Bike in the Box maverick, and it's something we've been proud of participating with you for the last several years.
Absolutely. In fact, because of your radio station, Wake Up Tucson, we're able then to meet our financial needs to sponsor 500 bicycles each and every year, you know, for many, many years.
We love being a part of it. Yeah. The Wakeys love doing it. And we're thrilled to do partner with you on lots of different things.
You're a Tucson treasure, man. You are.
Well, you know, Bruce, as yourself and your company, your employees that donate each and every year because of your generous donations, we're able to meet the funding that we need to purchase the 500 bicycles. Because I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to introduce our guest today, David Valdez. David's parents is Joel and Mary Lee Valdez. As many of you know, Joel Valdez was a former city manager with the city of Tucson and also at the University of Arizona, vice president for business affairs. I believe this is probably the financial icon that many do not know about Joel Valdez and what he's done financially, not only to help in the past with the city of Tucson, but the University of Arizona. With that, his son, David Valdez, is here with us. He's going to tell us about a special event that we're having here on Thursday evening. David?
David, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Rarely do we say the words ugly little monkeys on this show. So tell us about give us the origin story of Changuitos Feos.
Well, I have to credit my father. He helped start the group in 1964. He was a probation officer at Mother Higgins at the time. This was way before he got involved with politics. And there he developed a love for helping kids. It just so happened that Father Rourke, who helped start the group, was the chaplain there. And they had a piano. And Father Rourke was a jazz pianist. And he won the hearts of many of these boys because of that his ability to play. And from there, my dad and Father Rourke, along with others that were working there, John Huerta and Elba Flores, they were instrumental in helping the Los Changuitos Feos get started. Father Rourke was the priest at St. Augustine's Cathedral at that time. And it was Monsignor Carrillo who introduced Father Rourke to mariachi music.
Gotcha.
And he got an idea to start a group himself, taking kids from the barrios around Tucson, primarily those that were in high school, and formed the very first group, which consisted of four guitarists, a vihuela player, a trumpet player, a violin player, and Father Rourke on the guitarrón.
Nice.
Yeah. And growing up around these guys, I was probably 5 years, I think I was 5 years old at that time, not old enough to join the group. But my sister and I, my sister Lisa and I, had the opportunity of attending many of the rehearsals that took place, whether it be at all the basement of All Saints Church or at the basement of the Newman Center at the University of Arizona. So I grew up with these guys. I was always around them. We traveled to various cities. And so that part of my life, it was kind of, it was brought up in our life, in my life, as a music to appreciate, mariachi music.
Right.
Okay. And then my dad became the treasurer for 10 years. All right.
Tell me about the name.
Los Changuitos Feos was a name that was selected by Father Rourke. However, one of the uncles of the members, original members, Cosme Barcelo, the story goes is they were sitting around at one of the rehearsals trying to figure out a name for the group. And it was Cosme's uncle that said, you know, in Spanish he said, se parece unos changuitos feos. And Father Rourke asked, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, they look like a bunch of ugly little monkeys. And that's how the name caught on. Although the members weren't too happy. Some of the members weren't too happy with that name. But you know, during my interviews, a good majority of them, you know, they finally realized that it was a great marketing tool, because when they went on the road and performing for a lot of the Anglo audiences in the Midwest and Chicago and New York, where have you, it was great to come out and be introduced as Los Changuitos Feos de Tucson. And then when Father would give the translation for it, of course, they'd get a little chuckle out of it. The group is still in existence today. So me being in motion
picture, how does that name hold up in 2020?
You know, it is somewhat controversial, obviously. But for those that don't understand the story, that is one of the reasons why we're doing this documentary, because it is a story that reflects the lives of these individuals, what they went through, and ultimately the beautiful story behind the whole project.
I didn't realize that they toured out of state. I always thought it was a kind of a homegrown playing things around Arizona thing.
Well, no, one of the success...
I learned something already, David.
Yeah, one of the success stories is because Father's involvement with jazz prior to his being brought into the priesthood, he did perform at jazz clubs in New York. And it is said that he performed with Duke Ellington, Sarah Vaughan, one of his good friends, Peter Nero, who I heard the story of. He had several friends, celebrity friends, across the United States. So when the group formed and they were then capable of delivering on stage the type and the class of music that they were doing, then he was instrumental in getting these kids around. And Mayor Daley out of Chicago, and the ambassador to Mexico when they went to Mexico, and performing at Disneyland and Universal Studios. So at that time, in their lives, they were really very instrumental in getting this music out and making it so that it was appreciated.
Really amazing, right? The idea, it sounds like a bad Bing Crosby movie, right? The jazz playing priest. Right?
Yes.
Who then all of a sudden is in Tucson, era. It's like a mix between Going My Way and Lilies of the Field, all going on in one thing, right?
That's
comes
correct.
To Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. He has this musical background and these connections, right? Because that's important too in relation to getting the Chanquitos that national exposure, then exposing mariachi music to people who didn't know probably never heard of that in their lives.
That's correct, 100%. And because of his musical background, Father Rourke was extremely strict during the rehearsals. And that is really one of the reasons why they became so successful, because he demanded perfection from his musicians. And it just blossomed from there. It's quite a beautiful story that not too many people know the background or what took place behind closed doors. That's also going to be revealed in this documentary. But it's a story that not only Tucsonans need to know and learn, but it's a story that the nation needs to learn about, and on a global scale as well, because I really truly believe that because of these kids at that particular time, mariachi music is so accepted in the United States. They have really made it mainstream. And
so if there was a movie made about, like a commercial movie made about Los Changuitos, who would play Father Rourke?
That's a tough one. That is really tough.
Liam Neeson.
You know what? That came up. Actually, Chris, that came up because my first draft was a feature.
Yeah.
And one of the people helping me with that thought that would be the person.
See? Yeah, I don't know why I thought Liam Neeson, but
yeah,
he's done it before. So, all right, let's do this. Let's go to break. Now, first of all, I want to talk about that people can come see the movie, right? Or not?
Not yet. We're still in production.
Oh, yep. Okay. So, we're doing a fundraiser. That's
yes,
what we're doing.
We're still in production right now, and we're close to the end of principal production.
So what's going on at the Fraternal Order of Eagles?
So. Well, we're holding a fundraiser so that we can raise funds to actually finish the production. And my goal is to bring all surviving 19 members of the original Changos. And I'm talking about the Father Rourke era from 1964 to 69. Bring them back into the studio so they can record the music, some of the music that they performed back in the mid-60s. Wow. So
are any of them still performing as musicians professionally, or?
Yes, and that I can.
Well, hold that thought. Let's go to break. So it's Thursday night, the fundraiser, 5:30 at the Fraternal Order of Eagles on 1530 North Stone. You want to RSVP with Dave at david@uglylittlemonkeys.com. And we'll find out more about what's going to go on at this event, but we also want to talk about in relation to what's going on with creating this movie and the challenges. And if you have a question or comment about Los Chanquitos Feos, give us a call, 790-2040. Wake up. All right, we're doing the alphabet of bump music. Today is P, so we have a little Perez Prado on a Tuesday. Ray, what's tomorrow after P? Is it?
I think it's Q.
A lot of Queen tomorrow. That's what it feels like. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, you have till noon today to RSVP for the Wake Up Tucson 23rd anniversary party this Saturday night at the Marriott University Park Hotel. Live music, great food. You can have an overnight stay at the Marriott, brand new, $95, which is a total deal if you look online on what they're getting right now. So please join us Saturday night. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. If you're RSVP afternoon, you're probably out of luck. So we have Bruce Ashes here. Bruce, thanks for a nice day so far.
Thank you for inviting me.
We've covered it all. Chorus Nylander from KVOA is 17 feet tall. We did
Jack of the Beanstalk.
Malta Joe, police staffing problems in the city of Tucson, the Humane Society.
Little puppies and cats, and now the ugly little monkeys.
We got the great Jesse Lugo here. Jesse, thank you for bringing David and his project to our attention. We appreciate it.
No, you bet.
And we have David Valdez. He is the, let's see, what's your official title on this thing? Executive producer, co-director.
That's correct.
So tell us about the origin of why a movie. You said originally maybe a feature, now it's a documentary. Tell us, we got a few minutes here. Let us tell us how this all came about.
30 years of motion picture experience and this project living in the shadows. a good friend of mine who was a member of the original group, Wilfred Arvizu, he came out with a book 8 years ago entitled Forgive Me, Father, for You Have Sinned. And it was quite shocking because there were some details in there about what he experienced as the member, what he witnessed as the member. And after reading that book, I thought, you know, we should probably do a feature on this story. And so we wrote a screenplay, and, you know, the screenplay, you get, what, an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes of a story. And at that time, I was partnered with my good friend, Enrique Castillo, who is an actor out of Los Angeles, great writer. I shared this with him because I wanted to do a project with him. And he said, David, why don't you do a documentary? And so I thought, you know, I need to ask permission from Dan Bugley first, because Dan has been working on his documentary, Mariachi Miracle, for quite some time. And I certainly didn't want to tread over what his mission is.
Right.
And after meeting with Dan, he said, you know, you have my full support, because this documentary I'm doing only concentrates on the Father Rourke era. And it is just the story of the original members and what they went through. So the documentary was born, and I've been working on it for 2 years now. And like I said, we are close to finishing production here. And that is one of the reasons why we're holding the fundraiser this Thursday.
So you said that you brought aboard a pretty well-known name as an executive producer. Who's that?
That is correct. As of yesterday, we sent out our press release nationwide, and Edward James Olmos has signed on to be our one of our executive producers, and we're ecstatic and excited that he's come on board.
Who's the narrator? Should be him.
I think so.
I mean, the guy is one of the best voices ever.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. And, you know, it took a while. We reached out to him a while ago. And, of course, with his busy schedule, he finally came back to my partner and said, you know, I love the project. I really want to be a part of it. And so we're thrilled to have him on board.
So this book, Forgive Me, Father, You Have Sinned, talks about some bad behavior from Father Rock, it sounds like. Okay?
Yes.
So what do you hope from doing? What's your hope in relation? So you said this book that details some dark stuff from this priest that helped start this thing, right? It got you thinking about, I got to do a film, originally a feature, now a documentary. So when this is all done and people watch this and this is out there in the sphere of the world, what does David Valdez hope, the person out there watching this, what do they get from this thing?
First of all, giving credit back to these original members because of what they either witnessed or experienced. I believe the world needs to know that the youth mariachi education movement today is a result of what these boys back then started. Got to give credit to these individuals, number one. Number two is, because it is a documentary, we do have to reveal those dark stories. And granted, I don't think anyone in particular would have agreed to do this without my father's involvement, because it does require a good amount of trust.
Right.
Right? So, I have to thank my father for being a mentor to a lot of these original members, and then I thank them for entrusting me for taking on this project. Again, I didn't twist any arms as far as the stories are concerned. It is not a story about sexual abuse or alcoholism. It is their accounts of what took place. So in spite of what they had to deal with at such an early age, they were able to surpass that. They were able to protect themselves. They were able to move on. And that's the story that needs to be told. What became of these gentlemen after the fact? And the fact that it's still alive today tells a significant story that needs to be told.
Any resistance from the originals?
Yes, I have to be honest with you. There is some resistance, and I understand their trepidation about being a part of this project without really knowing. I would just wish they would give me a little bit more trust and look at it from my side, because a lot of it is therapeutic for a lot of these members. Some
sure.
of them have never revealed what they may have experienced. So there's a therapeutic side, a release, in other words. And I just hope that they will, you know, come on board and say, okay, we're ready to face it. We're ready to embrace this. Let's move on. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
All right, I want to promo one more time, and I got one more question for you, and we're probably going to run out of time. Bruce, if we run out of time, thank you for a nice job. Jesse, thank you, as
you
always.
Bet.
Thursday night at the Fraternal Order of Eagles, 1530 North Stone. It's a documentary fundraiser for the Ugly Little Monkeys documentary, cash bar, complimentary food, and you need to RSVP with David at uglylittlemonkeys.com. What is the legacy of the original Changuitos de Feo in less than a minute?
Less than a minute. The legacy of Los Changuitos Feos, without them, we would not have had Mariachi Cobre, who is a signature mariachi group at Epcot for the past 37 years. We would not have had the Tucson International Mariachi Conference that was started by Randy Carrillo. And I can even go further. I don't think we would have had Canciones de Mi Padre from Linda Ronstadt because of the popularity of what the concert festival brought. So that is the legacy of what these gentlemen what these boys started.
Well, David, it was a pleasure meeting you today.
Likewise.
And we'll have you on again and keep us updated, okay?
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you, Bruce. Thank
you. You guys have a great day. We'll see you in 21 hours on the Wake Up Tucson Show.